Amen. Now, our question this afternoon is found in verse 5 of John chapter 21. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No, no. Now, we come to this final chapter of John's Gospel. We find a wonderful and thrilling portrait of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is revealed to us as the friend of the fallen. Let me remind you of what we read a little bit earlier in Matthew's Gospel, of how the Lord Jesus, having been arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane, was taken and put on trial. His disciples fled and forsake him. Peter, we're told, sat in the palace and then was confronted by the damsels, the little maids of the kitchen, as to his allegiance to the Lord Jesus. He denied with oaths and curses that he knew him at all. And then he heard the cock crowing, as predicted by the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told that Peter remembered all that the Lord had said, and that he went out into the night and wept bitterly. Now, before we can see how the Lord restored fallen Peter, we have to understand just exactly what happened to him and how he happened to be fallen in the first place. So that's what we want to start with this afternoon. Peter's failure. Well, Peter's failure began because, well, he was in the wrong place. And the scriptures tell us that Peter had once made his boast that he would never leave the Lord Jesus. In fact, if he was called upon to die for the Saviour, that he was willing to lay down his life. And yet at the same time, when the Lord Jesus was arrested, Peter, like all the other disciples, forsook the Lord and fled. Now, conscience maybe got the better of him, but he decided to follow the Lord. And we're told in verse 58 of Matthew 26 that Peter followed afar off, at a distance. And at a distance he finds himself now surrounded by the Lord's enemies. And it becomes increasingly difficult for him to take his stand for the Lord. He has taken the low road, and now he is even beginning to deny that he knows the Lord Jesus at all. That essentially all backsliding begins in the same manner. Instead of staying as close to the Lord as we should, we begin to follow him from a distance, from afar off. We can begin very simply. We can start missing a few services here and there. We might stop praying the way that we had been previously. Maybe our Bibles lie unopened from one Lord's Day to the next, and we're not engaging in spiritual things with our soul as we once did. Wherever or however it begins, it eventually leads to the same place. It leads us away from that closeness to the Saviour to following him from afar. Peter's problem begins and he finds himself in the wrong place, surrounded by the wrong people. And there he denied the Saviour. And having denied the Lord with oaths and curses, we're told that he went out and he wept bitterly. He was miserable in this new condition. He knew in the depth of his soul that he had wronged the Lord of glory, that he had violated something very precious and sacred. And because of that, he is now a miserable man. There's no joy to be found in following the Lord Jesus from a distance. And so it is with every child of God who finds themselves away from that nearness to their Saviour. You'll find very quickly that sin brings with it a great deal of pain and suffering and misery. Proverbs 13 and verse 15 reminds us that the way of the transgressor is hard. We have lost out on the peace of God. We will not enjoy His presence as we once did. The power of God that was once known in our life will be absent. The joy of the Lord, which was our strength, will be no longer there. Make no mistake about it, sin is a thief and a robber. It will steal our joy. It will steal our youth, our beauty, our innocence, our effectiveness in the work of God. Sin has the ability to make you a very miserable person indeed. And having sinned, and having sensed that awful loss of fellowship and peace and joy with the Saviour, Peter knows that things are different now between him and the Lord. I realize that I'm speaking primarily to those who know the Lord Jesus, who know him as their Saviour. But we do well to understand that when a person who knows the Lord definitely and deliberately decides to walk in a different way than what the Lord intends us to go, that it comes with a high price tag. We lose much when we walk away from the Saviour. While we may not lose our salvation, but we will feel as if we have, and we will most certainly lose our fellowship with the Lord, and we'll lose that peace and joy and contentment. There'll be a loss of blessings and rewards. And sin being a cruel taskmaster, it will continue to oppress us and to beat us down. And if we continue and persist in our sin and rebel against the Lord's efforts to restore us, well, the Scripture reminds us that there is what's called a sin unto death for the child of God. I believe it simply means that that child of God that refuses to repent and be restored to the Lord, that their lives could effectively be cut short. John said, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. Peter failed the Lord. He failed in a catastrophic way. And his failure led to foolishness. We come to John chapter 21. And having been instructed to wait and meet the Lord at the Sea of Galilee, we find rather that Peter says unto the other disciples, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. I suppose that after his very public failure, Peter perhaps assumed that his ministry for the Lord Jesus was over. He had denied the Saviour 3 times with oaths and curses, and perhaps felt that the only thing left to him was to return to the old way of life. And I'm sure that there were many ways that he sought to justify this to himself. He may be thinking to himself, well, I have a wife and a family to support. What else am I to do? Well, whatever his motivation, Peter has forgotten that the Lord had called him to forsake all of those things and to follow him. That day when the Saviour stopped by his boat at the Sea of Galilee and had called him to follow him and become a fisher of men. Now the Lord Jesus has not rescinded that command. Peter's problem is he's afar from the Lord, and as such he's making poor choices and bad decisions. He's making his decisions based on fleshly motives rather than spiritual ones. So Peter, in his foolishness, decides to go fishing, back to the old life. And he's not content to go by himself. He is determined to bring others with him. It seems that some of the other disciples were not as sold out to the Lord as what they should have been either. They were to wait in Galilee to meet with the Saviour, to receive their marching orders. After all, the Saviour told them to go ahead and wait for him. But they refused to wait. They're going back to the old way of life. You know, it's a sad thing, but they say that misery loves company. Well, so does sin. And when Peter, having backslidden, he's not content, it seems, to do it by himself, and that he's going to drag others down with him. He goes a-fishing, and we're told that others say, "We'll go with you, Peter." We see it happening all the time. Perhaps in families it becomes apparent. When one gets cold on the things of the Lord, and before too long, everyone in the family is out of God's will. What a shame it is that we feel it necessary to drag others down into our foolishness. And I suppose what's equally sad is that there always seems to be those who are willing to follow the wayward child of God into error. Why are things like that? Well, to borrow an old proverb, birds of a feather stick together. In other words, we like to surround ourselves with people who are on the same level as we are ourselves. So if we are right with God, we'll want to be around others who are right with God. We love the company of God's people and the fellowship that it brings. If, however, we are not right with God, then that's the company that we will seek. We'll seek out others who are not satisfied with God and his ways. And so Peter and the other disciples begin to go back to the old life of fishing. We try to reproduce our spiritual temperature in the lives of those around us, and it's merely an attempt to make ourselves comfortable. So having gone fishing, we're told that they went immediately into the ship, and that night they caught nothing, not a single fish. These men, who all their days had been professional fishermen, it must have been a devastating thing for them to have laboured all night and caught nothing, toiling and sweating and labouring through the night to produce nothing of value. Well, that's just how it is. When we're outside of the will of God and we're trying to make our way in our own strength and accomplish our own purposes, it always comes to nothing. The prodigal son found that out to his cost when he's sitting there in the pig pen, hoping to fill his belly with the husks that the pigs were eating. But he couldn't even do that through his own self-effort. Let me just remind all of you this evening that we are totally dependent upon the Lord Jesus for everything. We can produce nothing of lasting value in our own efforts. Peter's failure leads to him making some foolish choices. Thank God that's not where the story ends, because we're told in verse 4 that when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. Now the disciples didn't seem to recognize that it was the Lord Jesus, but he cries out a question to them, "Children, have you any meat?" And they answered him, "No." And he gives them instructions. Cast the net to the right hand side of the ship. And as they did what they were instructed, they drew a multitude of fish. John recognizes what's happening. He says to Simon Peter, "It is the Lord." Peter, not even waiting to bring in the fish or to sail to shore, pulls his robe around him and thrusts himself out into the water to get to shore as quickly as possible. There he finds the Lord Jesus with a little fire burning and fish upon it. He's going to have a conversation with Peter. And Peter's going to have to come to a confession and to admit his failure. When the Lord Jesus asked him, "Have you any meat?" he answered, "No. Without you, Lord, I can do nothing." There's an acknowledgement here that without the Lord Jesus, our life is worthless and fruitless, and we toil and labor for nothing of eternal value. So what's the answer to this night of fruitless toil? Well, confess your sin and then obey the Savior. After their confession of fruitless toil, the Savior said, "Cast your net on the right side of the ship." They did that. Do you know what happens when you stop doing things your way and start doing things the Lord's way? Well, your net gets filled. There was success where there had only been failure before. Their net was now bulging and overflowing, so much so that they had to call for another little ship to come and help them bring the net to land. Without the Lord, we can do nothing. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors. In fact, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And having recognized that he needs the Lord, notice what verse 7 tells us. "Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked and did cast himself into the sea." There is immediately in Peter's heart a desire to be close again to the Master. He has wandered far from his Lord. His life is now meaningless and fruitless and worthless. But now the Savior stands calling to him, and he desires to be as close as he can to the Savior. How good that is to know. He hasn't forgotten us, nor has he forsaken us, and that he loves us as much today as he has ever loved us. His love is ever constant. And he wants us to come to the place where Peter has come, that we're willing to cast ourselves out of our little boats in order to get closer to him. He wants us to confess our sins and to begin to follow him again and to love him as we ought to love him. We are to come quickly to him. And having come to the Savior, the other disciples not far behind, we find that when they reach the shore, that they find the Lord Jesus has prepared a fish already cooking. He stands there with everything that they could need. They have been out in the boat laboring all night. They're tired, they're cold, they're hungry, and they find the Lord Jesus Christ, that food and warmth and fellowship that they were lacking all the night. They found the Savior who loved them and who had provisions to take care of them. And everything that they had lacked the night before, they found in him. That's still the case. He has all that we need. And should we have found ourselves afar from the Lord, cold of heart, toiling and laboring and catching nothing, miserable within ourselves, without peace in our heart, and no joy before the Lord, do you know what we need to do? The same thing that Peter did. We need to get back to the Lord. We need to cast ourselves upon his mercy and find that he is as willing to restore us as he was to restore Peter. You know how the story continues, of course, that having dined and fed them, that the Lord Jesus comes to Peter and asked him the question, Simon, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? 3 times he asked that question. 3 times, and no doubt with tears in his eyes, Peter confessed, yeah, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You ever wonder why the Lord asked that question 3 times? I think it was once for every time that Peter denied him. But there's a full restoration. And Peter, go and feed my sheep. Go and feed my lambs. Go and serve me in the way that I've called you to. Go and be that fisher of men and leave these boats behind. Oh, there's a full and ready pardon for the erring Peter. So there is for you and I. Maybe we haven't fallen or stumbled to the same depth that Peter has. Maybe our denial of the Lord hasn't been as public or as devastating or as far-reaching as Peter's denial. But maybe somewhere along the line we've just allowed ourselves to drift, to get afar from the Lord, to grow cold of heart and to have missed out on what the Lord has had for us. Let's end our excuses. Let's seek the Lord and run to him and find the mercy that Peter found and be restored to that place of fellowship and usefulness in the Lord's kingdom. And may we, like Peter, be used of the Lord for the glory of his name. And find the Lord Jesus Christ to be truly that friend of the fallen. May we seek him quickly and earnestly, and know his restoring power in our lives, in order that we might be all that the Lord has called us to be. May the Lord bless each of your thoughts to our hearts this evening. Amen.